So yesterday we began to just peek, just mamash get our toes wet, that there's a concept of Shemitah, and specifically it breaks down to Shemitah's Karkos and Shemitah's Ksafim. There's a host of agricultural dinim, mitzvahs and averus associated with the Shemitah in terms of working the land, in terms of the produce of the land. And then there's Shemitah's Ksafim. There's a financial aspect that appears in Parshas Re'eh, the cancellation of debts that Shemitah drives. And we saw it's a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. Shamod kol ba mashay ado. Lo yigos esre'eyu. A mitzvah to let go of the debt. An aveira, you're not allowed to seek to collect the debt that the Shemitah impacted. As well as later in the psukim, the Torah has another lav. The Rambam, as you saw at the end of the parak, counts as another lav. And that is a lav that occurs earlier, before Shemitah kicks in, when you're thinking about lending money, a fellow comes over and asks for a loan, you should not withhold the loan because of your fear, but Shemitah is going to come and cancel the debts and I'm going to lose money. No, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to work. Just somewhat parallel to the fact that you have to be comfortable with letting other people into your field on Shemitah, and then letting other people enjoy your field on Shemitah, and you have to be comfortable with very minimally working your field on Shemitah. You're not doing all the things you usually do. You have to let go. And that's literally what the word shamot means, let go. You also have to let go here. You're going to make normal loans. Ki'ilu is a normal year, even though, if you haven't yet collected, by the time the end of Shemitah comes, that loan is suddenly disappearing. Just like during Shnas HaShemitah, the fruit growing from your trees are equal access to you and everyone else. You have to let go. Okay, so that's the second lav. The first lav is after Shemitah has impacted the loan. It's a lo saseh. You're not allowed to collect that loan. I can't come knocking your door and say, hey, where's my money? No. Shemitah canceled the debt. Number two is earlier, months or maybe years earlier. Lo yidavar mlavcha b'lial, don't have an inappropriate thought that I'm not going to lend you money. I would have lent you money, but I'm not going to lend you money because Shemitah is going to cancel the loans. And as we saw, the Mishnayis, the main address in Mishnayis for Shemitah's Ksafim is, not surprisingly, Masechah Shviyas, specifically Perek Yud, Prakam Aleph to test our Shemitah's Karkos, and Perek Yud Shemitah's Ksafim. And we have a line here, in the middle of Perek HaShaleach, and as we saw, the series of Takanos from Teitikin Olam, the last line, Lamadal Lebeis, the Hillel Hiskin Pruzbol, the Pnei Tikun HaOlam. Hillel was Mesakin Pruzbol to improve society, the Pnei Tikun HaOlam. Tikun Olam. So the Gemara is bothered by Akasha that we already began to notice, just looking at the six words about Shemitah's Ksafim and Mishnayis Gittin. So obviously the Hillel Hiskin Pruzbol implies there is a Din of Shemitah's Ksafim, and there was some reason why, number two, Tikkun HaOlam, there was some social problem that was being driven by Shemitah's Ksafim, and therefore step three, Hillel made a Din Drabanan to somehow modify how things work. Which raises a lot of questions. Number one, well, what was the problem? And number two, what was the solution? So what was the problem? That's easy. The Gemara says, well, let's take a look at the Mishnayos. What's sasum here is mafurish over there. Divrei Torah, aniyim makam echad, vashir makam achad. You look at the Mishnayos and Shriyos, you get more explanation. Let's take a look. The Gemara begins by quoting Mishnayos. Tanan hasam. You see on the side, it's Shavir's Perek Yud Mishnah Gimel. That's because the first two Mishnayos of the Perek are about the actual Shemitah's Ksafim, and the last two Mishnayos of the Perek are also about actual Shemitah's Ksafim. But in between, the middle, the parak is arranged like a sandwich, the middle five Mishnayos, starting with Mishnah Gimel, obviously, are about Pruzbol, but this Takana of Hillel. So that's why we start, well, later on, the Sukkah is going to come back to the earlier Mishnayos, but we start with Pruzbol. Tanan Hasam, Pruzbol ain't a Mishamet. If there's a Pruzbol, then Shemitah doesn't apply to the loan. You have Shemitah proofed your loan. This is one of the several takanos the Hillel made. Here we're quoting again, the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah in Shviyas. And here, in Shviyas, the Mishnah explains what was the content of the Tikkun Olam. He saw that people were refraining from lending to one another. And why is that a problem? They're violating law in the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to withhold loans because of a concern that of the loss that you'll suffer because of Shemitah, and people were violating that din. So number one, practically speaking, people weren't getting the loans they needed. It wasn't the credit market was suffering, and people didn't have access to the credit, the capital they needed to be able to move forward. And number two, not only is the borrower losing out, the lender's losing out. The borrower's losing out economically. The lender's losing out spiritually because he's violating this law. He's shamer l'chapen. And so Amad the Hiskin Prusbo, so Hillel gets up and is Masakin a Prusbo. Okay. And then the next Mishnah, you see Mishnah Dal explains what exactly is a Prusbo. The Zehu Gufo Shal Prusbo. This is the body, the Guf, the body of a Prusbo. Prusbo is a document. So you have the beginning and the end. It's going to start probably with the dates and the names and so on and so forth. But the guts, the core of the Prusbo, the Gufo Shal Prusbo is. Mosreini lachem ploni ploni adyam shavakim ploni. I am literally handing over to you so and so and so and so. The yadam in such and such a place. Shekolchov sheyesh sheyetzel ploni shegvena kozman sheerza. Any debt I have outstanding that ploni owes me, I can collect it whenever I wish to, even after the shnas hashmita comes and goes. The hadayanim chosimim lemata o ha'edim. Then it's signed at the bottom. So those are Mishnayos Gimel and Dalet in Perek Yud of Shvias. That's number one, just laying the groundwork. You should know, if you've already peeked ahead, over the course of the next blot and a half, all the way until the next Mishnah, or the sugyas of Shemitah's Ksafim and Prisbol. And because this, the Gemara was looking for an address to have the sugyas of Shemitah's Ksafim, so when we're done with this Mishnah, we're going to go on to then deal with the other Mishnais. It's going to be Ki'ilu Gemara on these Mishnais. Tanan Hasam, we're going to quote another Mishnah from the 10th Parak of Shvias, and a sugi about that. Tanan Hasam, like the Tanan Rabbanan, sometimes the Gemara starts Tanan Rabbanan, we start a new sugi instead from a Mishnah, from a Braisa. Tanan Hasam is a way the Gemara will introduce a Mishnah from elsewhere that's opening the sugi. But here, it is connected to Prusbo. And as we said, the two obvious questions when you learn our Mishnah is, number one, what was the problem? What needed fixing, and what was the solution? So what needed fixing, that's the Beferish Mishnah in Shvias, people weren't lending, which is a practical problem for the borrowers and is a spiritual problem for lenders. Okay, so you're working out a way that you can safeguard your loan, safeguard the assets you're lending out, so that's going to put people at ease, put potential lenders at ease, so we're not going to have this problem with insufficient loans. Tov. But the other problem, the other kasha is what? I understand the problem. What was the solution? Solution was, well, on one level, what was the solution? Well, you write a prusbul, and here's what a prusbul is. If you write a prusbul and a mishamet, once you execute a prusbul, you appear before the bezin, you have this document, you make the statement, you have the document, so then your loans are Shemitah proofed. But the question is, but what's the solution? Just because Hillel said so? Hillel said, if you do this, then there's no Shemitah. If you do this, no Shemitah. That's what the Gemara asks, I don't understand. What on earth? I don't understand. Min HaTorah, I don't owe you the money. Min HaRabbanan, I do. What does that mean? I mean Chazal or being Oker, didn't Taraisa. We showed him. Number of the Torah right away use a language that's reminiscent of the core sugya, the mothership sugya, so to speak. In Yevamos, beginning the 10th parak of Yevamos, Daf Peites and Daf Tzadi, the Gemara adjudicates this question. We know that Chazal have the right, the authority, and the obligation to make Dim Drabanan. By the way, that itself is a Chiddush. I wouldn't have guessed that Chazal can make new Dim Drabanan. But okay, we have drushes to indicate Asum Mishmaris L'Mishmarti, that Chazal are supposed to make new dinim, new isurim, to protect the dinim daraisa. Okay, so that's the chiddush that we're used to. But the question is, Chazal have the right to aser something that's mutter? But can they do the reverse? Can they be matir something that's aser? So that is a sugya. That's Yivamas Peites Haman Aleph Tzitzari and Beis. And the Mar Makom said gave you a little bit of a summary of that sugya. And the Gemara here is working off of that. The Gemara said, how could it be that Hillel said, Min HaTorah, Shemitah's Ksafim applies. Min HaTorah, I'm not allowed to collect the lender is not allowed to collect the debt. Alav Daraisa, I mean, Rabbanon, he could go ahead and collect the debt. Why could he did a Prisbal? But Prisbal doesn't mean anything in Min HaTorah. So Min HaTorah, there is Shemitah's Ksafim. Min HaTorah, there is a violation of the egos. So what's going on here? What's going on here? Ika mid the midraisim mishamta shvius behiskin hilo the law mishamta. So that was the Gemara's first kasha. Right, the first kasha is af tikkun prizbul, which equals af mutter ligbos. How is the malva, the lender, important words to know, a malva is a lender, and a loga is a borrower, in case that wasn't clear before today, hopefully it's clear now, otherwise this sugya will be incomprehensible. But that was the Gemara's first kasha. And what's a bias teretz? Strong kasha. How are Chazal telling me to ignore the din d'oraisa? So what's up about his parents? Not yet. That is about his parents, but not to this kasha. No. Ah, and that. But you're right. Moshe was really wondering what. Right? Why didn't we say that? Okay, let's come back then. But kasha number one is heich tikkun prizbul, but the din d'rabban. Their first kasha about the din d'rabban are prizbul. And what Abai say? Someone from the back room? Yeah. Are you laid loud?
That's not a din d'oraisa.
Good. The answer is there is no din d'oraisa at all. You were assuming that Minat Torah the Shmitzas Ksafim and Hillel's coming along and being okay the din d'oraisa. The answer is there is no din d'oraisa. I don't understand. We looked. Din d'oraisa means psukim the chumash are always the din d'oraisa. No, some d'oraisas don't appear in the chumash, but everything in the chumash is a din d'oraisa. We just saw psukim in the chumash. Right time is not a din d'oraisa. So Abaye said, "Amar Abaye, b'shvius b'zman hazeh v'rebihi." Well, eshmita b'zman hazeh. Nowadays, and what's nowadays? Well, Hillel is aligned with Rebbe. Rabbi Anasi was a great grandson of Hillel HaZaken. So we don't mean literally Hillel held like Rabbi, or Hillel held the way his great grandson Rabbi would later formulate, but Hillel already held the same way. What is the position of Rabbi? Rabbi Omer, Zed Devar Hashmita, Shamot. Rabbi Anasi points out the language of the Psukim in Re'eh is intriguing. Number one, the fact that the Torah opens with that introductory phrase. This is the din of Shemitah. What do you need the introduction for at all? Just say, Shamot Kobal Mashayda, here's what you do. Why do you have to give me the introduction? Every once in a while the Torah does that. V'zos Torah Sanazir, V'zed Devar Arotzech. So it always requires some understanding what's being added by that seemingly unnecessary, seemingly superfluous introductory phrase. Here, Rabbi Anasi is pointing out, not only do you have this introductory phrase, Zed Devar Shemitah, which seems unnecessary, but then the very next word is also a version of the word Shemitah. V'zer Devar Shemitah, Shamot. Shamot Kabal Mashe Yado. So the way the two phrases are set up, you have the term Shemitah back to back, two words in a row. Very striking. So Bihunasi said that's a hekesh. A hekesh is when you have two different concepts that appear in the same pasuk, literally being knocked together. You have two concepts that appear in the same pasuk. One of the midas ha'tarin adreshespen is to assume that when two concepts appear in the same pasuk, there's some type of connection, there's an equation between those two concepts. They share dinim, they share features. So Rabbi Yonasi says, Shemitah, Shamot, the two words back to back, it must be, so odd, it must be referring to two different things, both of which are called Shemitah. What two things are both called Shemitah?
So you know what he says? Acha b'shtei shemitas akasa medaber. Those two terms, one after the other, shemitah, shamot, refers to two shemitas. Which two? Achas shemitas karka, the achas shemitas ksafim. One is a shemitah, agricultural shemitah. The other one is a shemitah of the financial shemitah. So b'zman sha'atim mishame karka, atim mishame ksafim. B'zman sha'atim mishame karka, atim mishame ksafim. Just as Shemitah's karka does not apply, at least in HaTorah, at all times in Jewish history. There are times when Shemitah's karka applies and times it doesn't. So too, Shemitah's ksafim. What does this mean? So Rashi gives you the background. That Shemitah, even Shemitah of karka, that Yovel, this is the way that Rashi presents it. If you have time, disagrees a little bit. Let's take a look at Rashi. Hillel k'Rebbe Svirle. Hillel holds like his great-great-grandson, Rebbe. What did Rebbe say? Dama Shemitah is Hashmatas Milva Bizman Hazeh Drabbananu. That Shemitah's Ksafim is Drabbanan. Bizman Hazeh. Now, for the first, Rashi sends it one in Bizman Hazeh. Abaye is speaking in the 4th century. Abaye lives around the year 350. But Hillel lived centuries earlier. He was one of the earlier Tanan. Hillel lived during the period of the Baye Sheni. Avagav the Hillel by Yisheni Hava, the Tanam tell us about Hillel bringing a Karban Pesach. Hillel comes back from Bava and trying to figure out how to bring a Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos. Hillel Azakein lived during the Baye Sheni, Hillel of Hillel and Shammai fame. This is before the Churban Bayis. You mean even during the Baye Sheni, there was no Shemitas Ksafim Daraisa? Really? Really? So Rashi says that's right. Why? Abayim Tam disagrees, but most Rishonim agree with Rashi. Avagav the hill by Sheni Ava, but Svir Leila Bayid by Sheni. Ho of Elohaya Yovel Noheg. Since Yovel did not apply even during the Bayi Sheni, therefore Lo Nogu Shmitin Midaraisa. That Shemitah only applies when Yovel applies. Right? The Torah tells us in Parshas Behar, every 7 years you have Shemitah, every 50 years. You have Yovel, just like when we count Sfiras Omer, you have seven cycles of 7 days each. You have 7 weeks, and then day 50 is Shavuos. So too, the Torah tells us. The Torah tells Parshas Hamor. A couple of prakim later, the Torah tells us in Behar that you count 7 year cycles. Every 7th year is Shemitah, and then after 7 Shemitah cycles, year 50 is Yovel. So. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi held, and Abaye is arguing that Hillel also held, that when there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah. Why is there no Yovel? So when Tosis quotes Rashi, he adds a little bit. When the Rashba quotes, he adds a little more. You see there's the narrow lines, and then the medium-width lines, and the wide lines. The last medium-width line in Tosis, when he quotes Rashi, why? Quoting the Gemara's elsewhere, why was there no Yovel during the Baye Sheni period? Because you didn't have Kalal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. You had only a minority of Kalal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. Most Jews did not live in Eretz Yisrael during the Baye Sheni period. For two reasons. Number one, it says in Sefer Ezra that when they came back from Galus Bavel, when the Persian Emperor Koresh gave the Jews permission to go back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, most Jews, tragically, stayed behind. They said, Bavel's very comfortable, they have nice houses, they have great yeshivas, they have good jobs, why should you go to Eretz Yisrael? Most Jews, as a matter of fact, the Psukim say that Ezra actually, at one point, he starts traveling, and he takes a census, and he realizes he didn't even have a few people, and he didn't even have enough Levium to operate the Beis HaMikdash. He had to go back and get more Levium. Whole Tarum. So most Jews stayed in Bavel. Plus, more than that, is already during the end of the Bayish Rishon period, you did not have most Jews in Eretz Yisrael because, who knows their Sefer Malachim, what happened towards the end of the Bayish Rishon period?
Well, there are multiple exiles.
Right, there are multiple exiles, beginning with, you know that after the death of Shlomo, Kalal Yisrael divided or redivided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Under Shaul, David,
Shaul to an extent, and Davin and Shlomo, there was a united kingdom of all 12 Shvatim under a single king. But the Navi tells Shlomo HaMelech, because of your Chataim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to undo that. He says, in the schus of your father David, it's not going to happen in your lifetime. But the Navi tells Shlomo, after you pass away, your son Rechavam, it will not be king of all the 12 Shvatim as you and your father were. Rechavam will only be king over the southern kingdom, which was Eretz Yehuda together with perhaps Binyamin. And the Aseres HaShvatim, the other 10 Shvatim who live in the north, they're going to be part of not Malchus Yehuda, but Malchus Yisrael, the first king of which was Yeravam ben Nevat. And then the Sefer Malachim keeps going split screen back and forth between what's going on in the north with Malchus Yisrael, Aseres HaShvatim, what's going on in the south with the Malchus Yehuda, until at a certain point, with the rise of the superpower we know as Assyria, Ashur comes and starts making trouble, and eventually culminates in the Galus of Aseres HaShvatim. The Ashurim totally conquer Malchus Yisrael, destroy Malchus Yisrael, and they practice mass migrations. The way the Ashurim ran their empire is they would just move whole countries to other places. That way they would be subservient, they wouldn't be comfortable and on their own territory. So they move the Aseres HaShvatim out elsewhere, where is a good question, and they move the people from Kusa into Malchus Yisrael, hence we have Kusim in Eretz Yisrael. The Ashurim make trouble in the south also, but do not destroy Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yehuda survives from the days of Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu all the way until Tzidkiyahu and Bavel, the next two superpowers later, come by and do indeed destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So from the days of Sangol Sancheirev, we didn't have Seres HaShvatim or gone. So it seems like a Yovel may already, at the Tosfos, a long discussion about working out the timing, and did they ever come back? Seres HaShvatim, but that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that there hadn't been a Yovel. You call Yoshveh Aleha. The Rashbads also, maybe you also need to have not only that they're living Eretz Yisrael, but each Shevet is in the right spot. It hadn't been the case since the Bayis Rishon. So that's what Rashi says. The Bayis Shein, there was no Yovel. There hadn't been a Yovel since some days of Sancher, since the days of Yishayahu Anavi in Chizkiyahu HaMelech, or before. Tiglath Pileser. So Rashi says there was no Yovel, because you didn't have Kol Yoshveh HaAleha. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, when there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah. And when there's no Shemitah, there's no Shemitah. So that's why see, goes on to quote Matzasi b'Talmid Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi, who I believe is one of the Rashi's Rabbeim. Kosev in Masech has Gittin b'Yerushalmi, they quote Yerushalmi and Gittin. V'nayin she'in Shemitah Nohegaz El b'Zman she'Yovel Noeg. How do you know that Shemitah only applies when there's a Yovel? She'nemar v'zeh devar ha'Shemitah. Shamot. One of Shemitah is Yovel, and one of Shemitah is Shvius. So that's the position of the Yerushalmi, and that appears to be the position of the Bavli as well. Aber Torah's Kohanim Ra'isi, the Shvius Noeg b'zman she'en Yovel Noeg. The Torah's Kohanim is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, we also call it the Sifra. And that goes back to the late Tanam and the Amoraim. The Sifra says that Shemitah does apply in b'zman zem in HaTorah. But the Bavli Yerushalmi say it doesn't. And the Rashi says, Omar Nishu Machlokas. Okay, it's a Machlokas HaTanam. Indeed, it's a Machlokas HaTanam because Rebbe is the one who says that there's no Shemitah Ksav Mizman HaZeh, but the Chachamim disagree. So it sounds like Rashi says, I presume what Rashi means to say, is that Sifra, that Torah's Konim, Tav Kaf stands for Torah's Konim is presenting the view of the other Tanam, who say that the Shemitah b'zman hazeh is min ha-Torah. Yohanasi says, no, Shemitah b'zman hazeh is not min ha-Torah. B'zman ha-Torah, Rabbi Yohanasi holds that Shemitah d'oraisa depends on Yovel. No Yovel, no Shemitah. And the Chachamim hold, no, Shemitah. There's no Yovel, but there is Shemitah. So it's a machlokas. The Bavli Yerushalmi are quoting the position of Yohanasi. Charles Cohen is quoting the position of the Chachamim. So, and therefore, where does that, and then as Rashi stresses, the bottom Rashi, you're not Meshameh Ksafim, Afopi Shashmatas Ksafim Chobas Hagufi, the Ein Atluya Baret. What does Rashi mean to say? It's a Chiv of my body. Thank you very much. The chiyuv of my bar is not toy bar. What does that mean?
You have to pay.
Oh, right. Right, the Mishnah says at the end of the first parak of Kiddushin, very good, and the first parak of Kiddushin have a series of Mishnayos that give you rules about mitzvahs, categories of mitzvahs. One of the rules there, you have about which mitzvahs apply to women, which mitzvahs only apply to men, which mitzvahs apply only to Eretz Yisrael, which mitzvahs apply even to Chutz La'aretz. So the Mishnah says that a chovas haguf applies all over the world, the chovas karka only applies if it's a mitzvah, tlui ba'aretz, if it's agriculture, the agricultural mitzvah has to do with the soil, so then typically only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But if it's not Tzuyah Ba'aretz, Tzitzis and Tzvillin and Tzedakah and Sukkah Mulav apply all over the world. That's what Rashi is saying. Shmizik Ksav and Zechovah Zaguf. It has nothing to do with the soil. Nothing to do with the soil. It applies all over the world. But even though Shmizik Ksav applies in a place where Shmizik Karka does not apply, however, it does not apply at a time that Shmizik Karka doesn't apply. That's what Rashi is saying. They're not the same spatially, but they are the same temporally. That's why it's a chiddush. I wouldn't have guessed it. Okay, the Nasi says, but that's what this hekesh is teaching me. Shmita Shamot, the chiddush of this hekesh, that the two shmitas appear in the same pasuk, tells me that despite the fact that shmita's karka and shmita's ksafim are so dissimilar, shmita's karka is obviously a mitzvah tluy baret, shmita's ksafim is not tluy baret, it's not agricultural, and therefore they don't have the same range of application spatially, but a chiddush, they do the same range of application in terms of time. It only applies at a time of Yovel and Shmitas Karkos. Then you have Shmitas Ksafim also. So where does that leave me? Bizman Azeh says Abaye, according to Rabbi Anasi, and Abaye claims Hillel agrees. Bizman Azeh, is there Shmita?
No.
Well,
maybe.
So he says no. We turn the page. We say Min HaTorah no. But that was a Din Daraisa. The connection of Yovel to Shemitah, the Hekesh, of Yovel to Shemitah, so that's a Din D'Raisa. Min HaTorah, there is no Shemitah Bezman HaZeh, according to Rabbi Yonasi. But, Takina Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Detishmet, Zeichel Shvias. Chazal created Din D'Rabbanan of Shemitah. Why? To remember Shvias. Roa Hillel Shenimnu Amel Ahavu Zeh Zeh Amel Vehiskin Pruzbo. Oh, that's Abai's answer. Abai's question was, how can you be Misaki Pruzbot Sinakira's Dava Minatorah? The answer was, we're not being open anything Minatorah. Abai is claiming that Hillel is only Misaki Pruzbot because he held the Shemitah to begin with his Rabbanim. In other words, the Chachamim would not have believed in Pruzbot because Shemitah Reis you can't undo. Give me 60 seconds just to sketch out the contours of what's to come. Because the Gemara's answer is Shmita Bizman HaZeh Drabanan Lefi Hillel. To which the Gemara then is going to say Shmita Bizman HaZeh Drabanan, that's Kasha number two. That's another type of Akira's Davar Min HaTorah. Vi Min HaTorah, I owe you the money. I mean, Drabanan, I don't owe you the money. So forget about hiring Misak and Pruzbal. The second question is Heyach Tiknu Shmita Drabanan. It's similar, but not the same. It's actually reverse,
yeah.
Right? But it's the same type of question. You have a din drabanan that seems to be opposed to a din daraisa. To that, Abaye then gives an answer, and Rava gives an answer. Not the same as before, obviously. So Abaye is going to talk. We'll see what Abaye's answer is. We'll see what Rava's answer is. And we're going to wonder about the following questions. Why does Abaye not give Rava's answer? We're going to want to know why Rava didn't give Abai's answer. We're also going to want to know why didn't either of them give their answer already to question number one. Because it's a similar type of question, but three different answers, A, B, and C. And as I said, working on questions that seem nitty-gritty details is going to lead us into the solution to not only solving the details of the Shakavataria, but also uncovering much larger patterns. I advise you to enjoy your lunch. Enjoy your lunch. I'm glad to hang around for questions.